So I was going to assume, and I probably still can assume, that not everyone shares my obsession with sheep, but how delighted I was to find that Bonnie Addison was on board with me. I have entertained a fantasy of owning sheep for a long time. I like the idea of having livestock that are sustainable, that aren't raised to be slaughtered, but kept year after year, periodically shorn, and that have fleece that can be spun and used to create woolen things of practicality and beauty. Isn't that an excellent idea? I have heard no by so many. Sheep are dumb. They require a lot of work. And on they go with a host of really practical reasons why I probably won't have my own flock of sheep. But having this peculiar love of sheep makes me very open and interested in the shepherd imagery in this morning's psalm. I don't know what this background noise is. It's probably God saying something. Knowing the rather strong negative reaction I have received from people when I've been waxing on about sheep makes me think that likely there are many that don't share my passion for the shepherd imagery. But I'm going to talk about it anyway. Not that you have to love sheep or want sheep or care about sheep beyond how I hope that we care about all of creation. But here we are with this so often recited psalm. We hear it at funerals. We have relatives who have cross-stitched them. I saw on Nancy Parody actually read this from the cross-stitch sampler that she made for her mom that she read at her funeral yesterday. The first words of the psalm get spoken. The Lord is my shepherd. And their familiarity washes over us with a kind of, like a kind of calming blanket, which is gift. However, I think sometimes in the familiarity, we miss out on the words and the images and the impact. God is my shepherd. The shepherd whose primary tool of the trade is a shepherd's crook. A long wooden thing, that's the technical term, I think, straight on one end and with a big curve on the other. The straight end available to prod and nudge. The curving end available to pull in, to be placed around the neck of a sheep, to pull it in or hold it up. A tool that has the ability to both give a kick into action and support, depending on what is needed in any circumstance. God's love is offered to us like a shepherd's crook, enveloping, comforting, nurturing us when harm is near or when we are straying into dangerous territory, pushing us out of our comfort zone or complacency when we are needed to be active in the world. God is our shepherd. God is not a vengeful scorekeeper. God is not a militaristic superpower. God is not a distant judge. God is our shepherd in the pen of life with us. God is care. God is compassion. God is presence. God is support. God is enlivening. God is active. God is close at hand. God is moving among us and within us like a shepherd crook, like a shepherd with a crook of love to pull us into the grace and hope and abundant life, which is the holy wish for all of us. God is moving among and within us like a shepherd with a stick of love to pry us out of the familiar and guide us into the hurts and pains of the world to share God's love and hope. This is a life-changing understanding of God, or it can be. The power of God in our lives is the power of unconditional, holy love for us, not the angst of guilt or the paralysis of shame or the fear of hell. The power of unconditional holy love for us and for all of creation. God's movement and action in our midst is the compassionate, guarding, and guiding shepherd, whose tool of love is available to hold us when our knees are wobbly, or to draw us back when the threats, addiction, pain are dragging us down, when the hurricane waters rise, when the white supremacists boldly declare their hate, when the child spreads their wings and leaves home, when the doctor calls and the test results aren't good. The crook of love holds us up and draws us close to the source of love, God, our shepherd, present in all things, healing for every condition, hope in the darkest of times. God is our shepherd, healing, holding, helping, sometimes squirming. But there is another end of the shepherd's crook, the prodding, nudging, straight end. The part the shepherd uses to move the sheep. The part God uses to move us. It isn't about pushing us away from the love. It's about sending us out to share the love with the world around us. Nudging us out because God really needs people to be love and light in the reality of fear and violence and militarism and hate. God prods us with love. Love that infuses and supports us and encourages us and flows through us. God doesn't send us out to the wolves without the needed resources to survive in that territory. God gives us the resource. It's love. Love without limit, love without condition. It's not Hallmark sentimental love. It's love that costs, that breaks our hearts, and heals them in a God-curious, paradoxical way. God nudges and pokes us to go out and be the church in the world. God is planning on us responding. And we're going to get really sore if we just get that thing just bumped into our hip time after time. The world is desperate for the kind of healing and love and welcome and hope and peace that God offers and which we are sent to spread. When we do that, we are the church at its best, creating life, spreading love, offering hope, practicing generosity, caring for the vulnerable, speaking out for those whose voices aren't heard. Quinn Caldwell wrote about this kind of action in a UCC Still Speaking devotional this week. This may be a repeat for some. It's okay. This is what he said. Earlier this summer, two women visiting Panama City Beach in Florida heard screams and saw two young boys hundreds of feet out from the shore. They'd been caught in a rip current and couldn't get back. There being no lifeguard on duty, the women went out on boogie boards to try and save them, and got stuck themselves. Multiple other rescue attempts failed until there were 9 people caught in the water and in danger of drowning. That's when the people on the beach realized that no single person was going to be able to save them. This was a problem that was bigger than any one swimmer, even a strong one, could handle. So one by one, then 10 by 10 by 10, they linked arms, forming a human chain, reaching out to the stranded swimmers. And having made their human bodies into one huge superhuman body, they plucked those swimmers from the water and passed them back to shore. Not one person died that day on Panama City Beach. He goes on. There are problems in this world that a body cannot handle alone. There are situations that cannot be saved by a single person. There are currents you can never swim your own way out of. Which is why, please tell me you saw this coming, which is why God gave us the church. The place where we link ourselves up, make our bodies into the body, and perform miracles that none of us could perform alone. The church doesn't exist for your salvation. It exists to give you a way to participate in the saving of the world. May we be like the shepherd's crook of support and hope and welcome in the world. Able to do that because God, who is our shepherd, supports us with holy, infinite love and pours that love into us as we get the boot and are sent out to participate in the saving of the world. Amen.